So anyway, there's quite a bit of this lesson that was in the teacher's book that I'm going to go ahead and just read as part of the class. So I don't know if it's in the lesson book or not, but I want to read a little bit of background, and then we'll take off on it here. After the Passover celebration, Jesus withdrew to Judea countryside. People followed him because of the signs he had done in Jerusalem, and his disciples began baptizing the new followers. John the Baptist was also continuing his ministry at this time, but more people were following Jesus than John. John's disciples were concerned, seeing Jesus' ministry as competition. But John knew that his ministry was one of preparation for the Christ. He exalted Jesus, rejoiced for him as friends rejoice for the bridegroom. He clearly understood his role in God's plan, humbly proclaiming, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John's ministry had been a bold one. He had spoken out against Herod, and the Tetrarch arrested him. When Jesus heard that John was arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. But John records an interesting detail, and he had to pass through Samaria. He goes on record another private encounter of Jesus, this one with a Samaritan woman. Jesus met the woman at Jacob's well near the town of Sychar. He was weary from his journey, and he sat to rest at the well as the disciples went into town to buy food. The woman came to the well alone at the heat of day, which is unusual. This seems to suggest that she was an outcast of society. Jesus addressed the woman, which was contrary to custom for several reasons, most notably because of the cultural hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. But Jesus was not concerned with social customs. He was concerned with the woman's spiritual state. He turned his simple request for water into an offer of eternal life. Like Nicodemus, the woman mistook the meaning of Jesus' analogy, thinking in physical terms rather than spiritual. Jesus immediately turned the conversation to her history, demonstrating his understanding and knowledge, his understanding of each one of us. He began to reflect to her the reason for her need for a Savior. Recognizing that he must be a prophet, she asked him about religious practices, another disagreement between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus explained that God was more interested in true worship than where worship occurred. The woman knew that the Messiah was coming and that he would teach them truth, and Jesus told her that he was the one she was waiting for. The woman left her water pot, her water jar, and ran back to the town to tell the others about her encounter with Jesus. The people believed her and came out to meet him. At the request, Jesus stayed with them for 2 days because of his teaching, many believed. Okay, so we've got a little bit of a background of where we are right now. So anyway, our lesson is about the Samaritan woman, but we're going to kind of back up just a little bit here and kind of catch a loose end, and then we'll move forward from there. So Jesus is completely aware of what is going on with John the Baptist, and that's where we go into this next part. And again, I apologize, I'm going to read this introduction to you, and then we'll go from there. Scholars have suggested various reasons for Jesus having traveled through Samaria. Some suggest that the road through Samaria was a shorter route to Galilee. Jesus went that way because it was faster. Some point to the arrest of John the Baptist as the reasoning. If Herod was living in Perea, which was likely, then it may have been dangerous to use the eastern route to Galilee via Perea. Regardless of whether any of the scenarios hold any truth, we can be sure that Jesus had to go through Samaria so that he could meet the woman at the well at Sychar. In fact, he told his disciples as much when they urged him to eat. He told them that his food, his substance, was to do the will of his Father. He explained that time of harvest was at hand. He explained that the time of harvest was at hand, and he was already gathering food for eternal life. The woman and many Samaritans from her town believed in Jesus, accepting the gift of the living water that wells up from eternal life. By understanding historic context, we can draw more significance from this encounter. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. During this time of divided kingdom, northern Israel, named Samaria, was her capital. Jerusalem remained the capital of Judea. The Jews believed that God had chosen Jerusalem as a place for his temple, where he would dwell and be worshipped. The Samaritans did not believe in the full canon of the scripture. They believed in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, that they were truly from God. Because of this, they believed that Mount Gerizim believed to be the first place. Abraham built an altar and was the correct place of worshiping God. Jesus pointed out that the debate was moot since the time was coming when neither place would be central to be worship of God. The Jews also despised the Samaritans for the cultural reasons. The Samaritans were viewed as defiled half-breeds. When the Assyrians conquered Israel, they deported many Jews and brought in many non-Jews to inhabit the land. The remaining Israelites intermarried with these foreigners, resulting in a population of Samaritans who were part ethnic Jews and part foreigners. As the Jews returned to the area for exile, tensions developed between the two groups. Jesus intentionally traveled through the region of Samaria in order to react with the despised people, bringing them the hope of salvation and eternal life. This account confirms that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for Jews, but for every people, tribe, nations, language. It didn't matter that the Samaritans were of different ethnicity and had different cultural and religious practice. They needed a savior, and they believed in Jesus as Savior of the world, just as he had claimed to be. All right, it goes on to say, let us follow the example of Jesus in proclaiming his gospel to all people. Regardless of the background, he didn't get caught up in the casual differences of theological debates. Likewise, the woman immediately ran to share the truth with others. May we be intentional in sharing the hope of eternal life. All right, so we are on screen one there. The lesson is about the living water. Jesus visit with the lady at the Samaritan. Well, good morning. Welcome back, and thanks for bringing the new one. Did you stand up and let everybody see him? I don't know that everybody saw him. Do you mind holding him up for just a second? Give him to last week we were in Jerusalem with Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus had come to the disciples to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, as was customary for the Jews. We know that Mary and Joseph made this journey every year. So there's a handout that Asher gave to you, and one side is a timeline, and there's not really a whole lot of information that you're welcome to enter on there, but anyway, the back side is just a map of Israel. You can find on there where Jerusalem is, and you can find where Galilee area is, and that's where John the Baptist was taken into, arrested and taken into custody there. And you can see the treks that Jesus may have traveled. It's not marked on there, but they suggest that the easiest travel would have been from Jerusalem along the river up to Galilee area. That would be the most simple, the most traveled, the most common one. They also suggest that maybe the trek up through Samaria may have been shorter. Okay, I don't know. They talk about it here in the teacher's guide a little bit as if it's supposed to be of some significance. The significance is the route that Jesus chose to take. One of the reasons for not going along the Galilee route, as you can see, it runs along by Pere. Okay, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly or not. But Jesus, understanding that John had been taken into custody for preaching against Herod, Jesus probably chose to not go that way for maybe those reasons. But there's probably a more important reason why Jesus didn't go that way. You happen to know why? Logan, you're absolutely right. Jesus went that way because he had a purpose and a reason to go to Samaria. Jesus is very fresh or very new in his teachings at this time. There are very little to this point about Jesus and his teachings. Okay? And so Jesus needed to have a public or a private teaching is what this was to be. And that's the reason that this is kind of important, is because it had a purpose. And it focused with a one-on-one with Jesus teaching a lesson. Okay? That was so, it's early in his ministry. People are just coming around to knowing who Jesus is. All right. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, what was the first public authoritative act that Jesus did when he got to Jerusalem? This was last week's lesson. Do you recall? What was the very first thing he... I'm sorry? Maybe, maybe not. The very first act, when he went to the Passover, do you recall what it might have been? Okay, the very first act was that he went in and he didn't find favor with the fact that the people were within the temple. And so he went in the temple and drove the money exchangers out and the vendors out of there. He was also foreshadowing his death and resurrection. Throughout the time he was in Jerusalem, he also apparently did signs. Okay, now these signs are not really, they're not defined. They're talked about, but they're not really defined. What was the purpose of Nicodemus? What was the relationship between Nicodemus and Jesus? I'm sorry? Nicodemus was a teacher? Sir? Was a Pharisee? Okay. So what was their relationship, though? Why did Nicodemus have an interest in Jesus? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Okay. I want to know more about him. That is correct. What's that, Logan? That is correct, Logan. Logan made comment that Jesus told Nicodemus about being born again, born of the Spirit, and to see the kingdom of God. He also explained to Nicodemus salvation, eternal life, and is granted through belief of the Son of Man. Good job. Jesus used an example of light and dark to Nicodemus. Everyone knows. What is that comparison contrast all about? Kind of fill in a blank for me there. You've heard it all your life. I'm sorry? he used a comparison to Nicodemus between the light and the dark. What's that, Logan? That is right, Logan. He talked about the light being things that are visible, that are good and foreseen. Darkness kind of insinuates things that are behind the scenes and things that are not acceptable. And so that was a conversation. We look at Jesus' mission as to glorify God and to fulfill his redemptive work. There are an interesting detail in John 2:24. Let's go there and take a look at that. John 2:24. Does somebody have that?
John 2:24.
Please read it. Okay. All right. This kind of goes along with conversation we've had, I guess, here in the last couple of weeks. I think Logan's the one that was, it's Hunter, that had made conversation about working with a person at, or talking with a person at work, that the conversation is stirring around Jesus knew people before he ever met them. Is that correct? That kind of some of the conversation that you might have had? Well, that's the same case in this particular situation. Jesus, he didn't want to entrust himself to these people, even though he knew who they were. He knew everything about them. Why do you suppose that? Why do you suppose he didn't choose to engage? Maybe the reason, like I say, this is early in his ministry. So there's a lot of people that are kind of catching on to what he's saying. He's the groundwork has been laid for Jesus to come along. And so these folks are looking for that Messiah, that Savior. And to maybe this is a little bit too much right at the start. Maybe that's the reason he didn't jump in there and start knowing all these people and entrusting them and getting smothered with them. So the Bible gives examples of him having one-on-one relationships with people to begin his teachings with. And that's where these stories of Nicodemus is coming in, the story of the woman at the well. So he leaves those people. He stays in Judea for a while and talks with these people, and he makes his way down to Samaria. All right. All right. So, wow. Desiree, you asked me, I can't remember. All right, if you would turn to John 3, and we're going to read 22 through 36. John 3, 22 through 36. Someone have that? Please.
And they came to John.
Thank you. So this reading here, just a quick sum up, what's going on? What's taking place here that Hunter just read? I think it's interesting that you changed the wording in that, that you started out to say, we're asking, and then you change it to complaining, because that's exactly what they were doing. They were really consumed with the fact that Jesus had more followers that were taking, isn't that how you read that as well? That all of a sudden these followers were taking off onto Jesus and leaving John, and John's disciples were concerned about this, and they brought that to John's attention, and it's really kind of interesting. What was John's response? Bottom line, what was John's response? I'm sorry? Okay. All right. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, but it also talks about John. He must have been a pretty humble man, you suppose, because he admits that there's one that's from above, and his teaching is from above. They're the words of God. And he must increase and I must decrease. To me, that's a pretty humble man. All right. Can you kind of give me an idea of when this may have happened? When this took this time right now? You got a timeline there on the back. And it starts off with, 30 AD, something like that. So we assume that Jesus' ministry started right around that period of time. So what things have happened in this reading that would kind of set this timeline up? What things happened? Where was Jesus? I'm sorry? Okay, where was he? Okay, where had he been? He had been in Jerusalem. And he got word of what? What happened to cause him to leave his teaching in Jerusalem or Judea and to move? What event happened? John was taken in prison. Okay, so that prompted Jesus that he needed to go to John. So Jesus begins a journey, and he chooses to go where? I'm sorry? Goes to Samaria. Where is John at this time? John is still captive of Herod, okay? So we got a little bit of a timeline as to the sequence of things that happened. Okay, you agree? All right, somewhere in there, John's disciples began to hear about Jesus and his followers, and they voiced concern to John, and John gives the explanation about the bridegroom. Okay, we already talked a little bit about the concern that John's disciples and a Jew brought to John regarding followers. We talked about that. What did John remind his disciples in verse 28? Verse 28. John reminded his disciples of something. Sir? Okay. All right. Someone over here started to say something. I'm sorry? All right. So these folks were laying the groundwork for the coming of the Messiah, basically. What analogy did John use in trying to explain to his disciples about Jesus? So Gil, go a little deeper for me there. The bride and the bridegroom. What was it he was trying to impress on them about the bridegroom, the bride and the friend? All right. And his disciples, John's disciples, were, how would you say it? They felt like John needed to step up, that he needed to become more aggressive, or that they resented that Jesus was pulling followers more followers than, is that what you would say? Well, the point I'm trying to get to is John's attitude about Jesus and the followers was John was proud. And matter of fact, he later on says that Jesus' authority needs to increase and his authority needs to decrease. John was the forerunner of Christ, the preparatory for Christ. And so just like you pointed out about the friend of the bridegroom, you should be proud for the bridegroom. You should be proud, not resentful, but proud. It's his day of celebration. All right. John understood that the purpose of was to usher the day of the Lord. And now that Jesus had come, John's ministry was near its end. He demonstrated the understanding in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Some translations mark the quotations as continuing through verse 36. Whether these verses were spoken by John the Baptist or written by John the Apostle, they exalt the Son above those of the earth, reaffirming the teaching we saw in the account of Nicodemus. Those who believe in the Son will have eternal life, but those who do not believe are condemned already. All right. So let's move on here. So there's the map. You have the map, and you can see what we were talking about. I don't like laser things because I always think of that commercial with the monkeys. So anyway, the monkeys with the laser pointer, you know. Anyway. All right. So you can. I'm sorry. All right, so it is kind of interesting that Jesus didn't break and run, if you will, when John was taken into custody. It took him a little while to respond. Again, like we say, he was in Jerusalem for Passover. The people found an interest in what he was having to say, and so he wound up staying a period longer. You don't know exactly how long, but about a week that he stayed in that area. And then he moved from, let's see here, here's Jerusalem right here. You see it? Right there. So he was in this area right here. And the route that most common would probably be to go along the river here and then cut back up into the area here. But John chose to go back up this way. Herod was believed to have lived somewhere in this area right here. So Jesus' route, of course, as we talked, was up through Samaria. And so it doesn't make any difference what way was easier or more difficult. The whole reason for it is because Jesus' need to have the one-on-one encounter with the lady from Samaria. That was the whole reason for that one. So we're on John. We're at John 4, 1 through 45. Somebody have that one for me? And we'll break it up in a couple of readings there, please. John 4, 1 through 45. I'll tell you what, we're going to kind of speed it up here just a little bit. I'm going to assume that you've read this previous to now. One of the things that is pointed out in verse 2, the question is what interesting detail is given in verse 2? And the interesting detail that is given is who did the baptizing? Say again? His disciples did. Now, it goes on to say, although Jesus was not doing the baptizing himself, it was Jesus the people were choosing to follow. Why might Jesus not have been baptizing the people? Okay, the text does not give us an additional information, but it is interesting that John had said, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and that's in Mark 1:8. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance and preparation for the coming of Christ. Jesus' baptism was not like John's, and we will see the idea more clearly as we work through the rest of the New Testament. Why did Jesus leave Judea? Why did he leave? Okay, again, John the Baptist being arrested or taken into custody. Okay. These scriptures that are up here now are parallels to this John 4. It is kind of interesting that in these three scriptures up here, or these three readings, they give kind of the same story, whereas John gives a lot more detail of what happened between Jerusalem and by the time he gets to John, and we would read those, and you can see the difference of how much information is given. They're the same stories, they just don't give a whole lot of information. That's an interesting thought, though. One of the questions is how do these help to draw a better picture of the timing of the events? I haven't quite understood why the timeline is so critical here, but it does point out four things about the timeline, and it points out that Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus and his disciples were baptizing in Judea, as John was ministering in Aon. John the Baptist is arrested by Herod, and Jesus started back toward Galilee, traveling through Samaria. Why was John arrested? I'm sorry? He was talking about Herod. He preached against the government. He taught about Jesus, the coming of Jesus. All right. Why did Jesus go to Samaria? Okay. Why was Jesus sitting at the well? Why did he go to the well and sit? This was kind of a funny one to me. He was tired and thirsty. Why would anybody go sit at the well? He's tired and thirsty. Where did the disciples go? Where were they? They had gone into town to buy food. Why was the woman surprised when Jesus asked her for a drink? I'm sorry? All right, and then there's one more piece to that. You're absolutely correct. That one. Another reason would be that men would not speak to women. You know, it was, let's see, how did it word it here? It was just a taboo of culture. Okay, for men to speak to a woman if they were a stranger. What did Jesus offer the woman? Living water. Okay. Did she understand him when he offered that? Okay. All right. And explain the idea of living water that he explained to the Samaritan lady. I'm sorry? Never thirst again. And how did that come about? How would she never thirst again? What is the end result of that? I'm sorry? Eternal life. I apologize. We have several pages of questions that I was hoping to get through. I'll have to figure out a way to move through these a little bit quicker. Anyway, so the timeline thing there in this particular lesson.